The reading for this morning is John chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. John chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?"
Keep your Bibles open to John chapter 5. We'll be reading more of it in just a moment. Let me begin by thanking our guests for being here. It's always wonderful to have a few new faces in the crowd. It's always wonderful to see the ones we're used to seeing, right? Great to be a part of God's family together with you. And if you're a visitor, we want you to know that you are welcomed. We're excited to have you. We want to meet you and talk to you. So plan on sticking around a few minutes afterwards. We'd love to spend a few moments speaking with you before you leave today. Thank you, Kevin, for that song. I always have a hard time singing that song, and not because of bad reasons, but because of a very good reason. Back in 1993, I had for years gone to camp. I talked about the camps that I went to last time I was up here. We went to a camp in Alabama on Lake Martin, and in 1993, that week of camp, on a Wednesday night, I decided to get baptized. To be honest, I had been struggling with it for quite a while. I was 13. I had been probably pressured a little bit by my parents because it was about time that I did it. And it was something that I knew I needed to do. But it had, for a while, been on my heart. And every time, of all the songs that we would sing at camp and sing at home at worship, the song that would always make me most nervous of all songs was that song, "It Is Well With Your Soul." Because it wasn't. And when we would sing that song, it would hit me. I don't remember the song we sang after I got baptized, but I remember the first time we sang that one. And it felt good. I want to talk to you about that feeling today. Read with me, John chapter 5. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate was a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became well, picked up his pallet, and began to walk. Now it's the Sabbath on that day. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not permissible for you to carry your pallet." But the man answered them, "He who made me well was the one who said, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who was the man who said, 'Pick up your pallet and walk?'" But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you've become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away, told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. You know, the story is simple and somewhat ironic and somewhat bizarre, to be honest. We often get distracted by that one little parenthetical phrase that's in my version and might not be in some of your version, but that explanation about the angel who would come down and stir up the waters and whoever made it in first was healed from whatever disease they had. I encourage you not to get distracted today, but to let this somewhat strange story sink in. Because there are really two facts that I want you to notice about this story. One of them is that we meet a sick man, a man who had been sick for a long time, and we're not exactly sure what he's sick with. We just know he is sick and he is incapable of moving quickly. That's all we know. And then we know Jesus asked what I think is probably the most inane question in all of Scripture. Do you wish to get well? Do you wish to get well? You know, the obvious answer is yes. Why would you even ask that kind of question? Why would that, you know, why not just go ahead and do what you're going to do? The question makes no sense. Unless it does. Because there's a lot of people who don't want to get well. Keith Stonehart alluded to this during his lesson several weeks ago. But he said, you know, maybe the man had gotten comfortable with his sickness. He had his routine, you know. Every morning, probably his family or some sort of caretaker would gather him up and take him down to the pool of Bethesda and drop him off and leave him there for the day. And probably at the end of the day, he'd come back and gather him back up and carry him back home. He couldn't walk on his own. Could be that he got comfortable because he had the same group of people around him every day. He knew this guy and what his problem was, and this woman and what her problem was, and they had conversations every day, and they knew each other, and they watched out for each other. And so he was comfortable. Could be that he was just scared of change. You know, there's a lot of us, no matter what we're dealing with, that sometimes, no matter how bad it gets, we don't necessarily want it to change. Because the change is scarier than the pain. And I find that oftentimes we don't actually initiate having any change in our life until the change or the pain gets greater than the fear of the change. That could have been the man's problem. Maybe he was just unfortunate, like he said. While he was over there leaning against one of the pillars, there was that person laying right there on the edge. So as soon as he saw the water going, he'd plop on in. I really don't understand exactly what the problem is, but I do understand it is interesting that Jesus feels the need to ask this question. Do you want to get well? The reason I probably personally find it so interesting that Jesus asked this question is because this is the exact same question I find myself asking people when I present the gospel to them. Because there are a lot of people who think they're just fine how they are. You know, I'm a good person. I do more good than I do bad. There are holidays where I've gone down to the soup kitchen and carried that ladle for the day. And there are times when I have given money to people who need it. And I really don't, I've never cheated on my spouse, and I don't really get involved in any of the big sins. And so I'm good to go. I'm comfortable with who I am. I think I'm fine exactly the way I am. There's a lot of people who think that way. There's a lot of people who just like their sin. And before you get too quick to judge that, we fall short that way too sometimes. You know, sometimes it feels good to say what's on your mind. whether it's the right thing to say or not. You ever had those moments? If you're married, the answer is yes. Go ahead and nod. You know, sometimes it feels good to lash out because I don't have time to be patient. I don't have time to be tender-hearted or kind-hearted right now. Sometimes you say those words just because they're there, even though you know you shouldn't. And it goes much, much deeper than that. Sometimes you say that lie and then you justify it because it was worth saying this time. It was just needed. It got me out of trouble. It got somebody else out of trouble. It caused a situation that I was uncomfortable with to go away. So it was easier to just lie about it. Sometimes it's easy to look at things you know you shouldn't and then to justify it by saying, well, it didn't really affect me. It's not something I struggle with. Not something I worry about. Statistically speaking, we all sin and like it. Because if we didn't like it, we wouldn't do it. And so just being real with you right now, we mess up because we want to mess up sometimes. Sometimes people don't want to change. They don't want to be healed because they're more concerned about their reputation than they are reality. What I mean by that is, well, you know, my grandmother went to this church and my parents still go to this church, and so I need to go to that church because what would my family think if I decided that they were wrong and you were right? Have you ever had people tell you things like that? They're more concerned about their reputation or what other people think about them than they are about what is true. Sometimes they just don't want the changes that come with healing. Because to be honest, all of us struggle with that. Change is difficult. Change is painful. Change is frustrating at the very least. And sometimes we just don't think it's worth it. There are some who are just confused about what's wrong and they just need to be taught. I really think Jesus was dealing with one of those people in this instance here in John chapter 5. This man who had a disease, who was crippled, who had some sort of malady, and because of that, he just didn't know what else to do. He didn't know how to fix the problem. Because there was no way he was getting in the pool first. And so I'm just going to lay here. And I'm going to lay here day after day, and there's not really much that I can do. We face people like that. And our job, our gospel commission, is to walk around to the world and say, do you wish to be well? It's a legitimate question. And sometimes that involves us revealing that something's wrong in their life, and that's hard to do on our end. And sometimes that means we have to help them confront sin, and sometimes that means helping them see what are the great possibilities that come on the other side of repentance and baptism. Sometimes that just means showing them what a healed life looks like, because when you've been sick for 38 years, you forget what it feels like to feel good. I hear people all the time. One of our members had a hip replacement. And they said, you know, I forgot what it felt like to walk without pain. And they had gotten so accustomed to it that pain was just part of the game. It was part of life. And you just deal with it and you give up any hope of having life without it. And when it finally goes away, oh, what joy, what relief. And that's true spiritually. So we got to help people get to healing. And let me tell you right now, if you're one of those people right now that is fighting the change, the way I did so long while listening to that song. And I would hear, "It is well with my soul." And there were times where I just couldn't utter the words. I can guarantee you there is at least one of those people in this room. Today, the day to fix it. Because after being healed, there's still stuff to do. You got to take up your pallet and you got to walk. You've got to change your life. You got to tell other people about your healing. You got to stop sinning. All of that was stuff that this man had to do. Jesus said, be healed, get up, walk, carry your pallet, do your part, do your work. And he had to do it. And he had the opportunity to tell who it was. I don't think, as some people have said, that this was him tattletelling on Jesus. The man was clearly uninformed about who Jesus was, right? He didn't even know who had healed him. So he was asked a legitimate question, who did this? Who told you to walk? Who told you to carry this pallet? When he found out, he went and told him. It was Jesus. Jesus healed me. Jesus made me good. Jesus got me over the problem. And that's our job. Start telling people about Jesus. Start turning to Jesus and stop giving ourselves to sin. I am 100% convinced, and this is personal opinion, and I know I'm not supposed to preach personal opinion, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I'm 100% convinced that the reason we don't stop sinning is because we don't understand how gross it is to God. So if you will bear with me a moment. Back during the days of Jesus, there was something called nupta cadavera. For anybody who has any familiarity with Latin, you already know what I'm talking about. For those who don't, put on your seatbelts. Here we go. Nupta, you can probably guess what that word related to. Nuptials, marriage, bride. Cadavera, related to death, cadavers. It was a punishment under Roman rule, where they would do what they called, in English, give you a corpse bride. They would lock your hands hand in hand and your face face to face with a dead body, recently dead, and you were stuck there while that body decayed in front of you. People reportedly literally died from what's called effluvia, stench. Stench. I didn't know you could die from a smell. And I've had four kids. I thought that if you could, I would have. You would die from the stench. Virgil, who is a Roman poet and author who lived at the time of Jesus, said this in one of his poems. The living and the dead at his command were coupled face to face and hand in hand, till choked with stench and loathed embraces tied, the lingering wretches pined away and died. The stench would be so horrible that you couldn't eat and you would just waste away. And we keep ourselves married to sin, and it's the same thing. It's killing us. It's killing us. When we say, you know, I'd rather hang on to my sin than Jesus who sets me free. And it's killing you. So I leave you with Jesus' question. Do you wish to get well? It's a simple question. It seems like a somewhat odd and silly question. Yet there are those in this very auditorium who were still trying to answer that question. Is today the day I finally say yes and I get well, that I get baptized into Christ and have this corpse taken off of me so that I can live a life that is free and joyful and peaceful and loving with a God who loves me? Please do that today. If you need to be set free, God offers that. If you need to be set straight because you are a child of God, but you're still hanging on to that corpse and dragging it along with you, you just don't want to let go of that sin, God wants you free. Please accept His invitation. If you need the invitation to get your life right, come forward. Let us help you today as we sing this song.